The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Football Live out of the tunnel. Saturday's Wake Forest Duke game sadly won't be played. This result of COVID-19 issues with the Demon Deacons. As of right now, the ACC has not announced a rescheduled date. Houston's game at SMU scheduled for Saturday also postponed, also because of COVID-19 issues within the Cougars program. It is the fifth Houston game canceled or moved this season due to virus issues. However, Heisman contender Trevor Lawrence will be back under center for Clemson that Saturday at Florida State after missing the last two with the coronavirus. Here's the quarterback and his coach on Lawrence's return.
I feel just as good as I did when I left a few weeks ago and back to normal. It's a privilege to get to do what we do and really enjoy being out here. Obviously, the days can be long sometimes, and sometimes you can kind of lose sight of what you do and why you do it.
Oh, it's been great. I mean, he's chomping at the bit to play, and he's Trevor. I mean, he's just well prepared and focused and really locked in to trying to get back out and lead the team and play his best football. So you know what you're going to get from 16. There's no doubt about that.
The Clemson offense has not seen the negative effects of not having their star quarterback on the field, Not only did they get handed their first loss of the season, but they were not as efficient scoring, averaging 11 points per game less than they did with Trevor Lawrence as their starter. We're happy to have you with us this afternoon. I'm Wendy Nix with Todd McShay and David Pollack. And the last time we saw the Tigers was in South Bend, of course, suffering their first loss of the season to Notre Dame, but they were playing without their quarterback. David, what does the return of Trevor Lawrence mean for this Tigers team?
Oh, man. Travis Etienne's so happy. He's so happy to get some of those people out of the box. He's had a lot of carries, a lot to shoulder throughout the last couple games without him. But it puts everybody in place, man. You can't emphasize it enough. This is your leader. It energizes you. It's a good shot in the arm at this point in the season when everybody's kind of fatigued and everybody's kind of tired of getting tested and tired of going through all the stuff they're going through. I think now you look over there and you got 16 back and you're like, man, now we go. I'm not saying Clemson's going to be perfect from here on out, but now the offense will fit into its place a little bit better. Receivers will be excited. Offensive line will be excited. Travis Etienne will be super excited.
Todd? Todd?
I was waiting. I thought, yes. Hello? How are you? No, I listen, obviously,
hello, anyone?
You get
anyone?
The best player in college.
I wanted to give you time to process.
I was thinking through my, yes, exactly. No, what I was going to say is Trevor Lawrence comes back, the leadership he brings in and what he brings to the table. I don't think the quarterback position was necessarily the issue in some of their struggles. I think the defensive side is where they have to improve if they're going to get to the level that Clemson is expected to be at and they expect themselves to be at. You know, you think about Clemson and pass rush. They always have these guys that pipeline to the NFL. Cleveland Furrell, Christian Wilkins. You think about Shaq Lawson, Vic Beasley. I don't see that same pass rush consistently. Now, there were three sacks against Notre Dame from that defensive line, but you didn't see the consistent pressure that you are accustomed to seeing. And what that's doing is putting a lot of pressure on the secondary. So to me, what Brent Venables has to do, the defensive coordinator, is continue to figure out his personnel and continue to figure out ways to get consistent pressure as he moves forward. Because Ian Book, I mean, he completed, 75% of his throws in that win over Clemson, and timely throws too. So to me, that's really where Clemson's got to improve from here to the end of the season.
So Clemson at Florida State, a week off last week for the Tigers. That's a noon Eastern game on ABC. Florida State, by the way, will start Jordan Travis at quarterback after Purdy, of course, had season-ending surgery. 1 week from yesterday or next Tuesday, we will finally see our first college football playoff rankings. Alabama right now leading the way, a 90% chance to make the college football playoff. That's pretty high. Along with Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Notre Dame, who round out the top four. The Big Ten, by the way, the best chance to have multiple teams make the college playoff at 25%. Todd, look, we saw what Notre Dame did to Clemson. There were some mitigating factors there. But nevertheless, where they sit right now, what have you seen or learned about that Notre Dame squad over the last several weeks?
Yeah, I've seen them twice now in the past month and live. And just talking to the coaching staff, being around them, watching what they're doing, studying the tape against Clemson. I didn't think a few weeks ago that this was one of the four best teams in the country. I do now. And the biggest difference to me is the way Ian Book is playing. I mean, we've always known he's a good runner. He's a tremendous competitor. I love watching this guy on the sideline, the way he talks to his offensive linemen, the way he keeps everything going with his wide receivers and the communication. But I've seen now that he's able to understand what he has from a personnel standpoint. Michael Mayer, the tight end, his ability to utilize his size. Tommy Tremble, the same thing at the tight end position. But also seeing a guy like Avery Davis the last 2 weeks, a senior who's kind of exploded on the scene when they needed speed on the perimeter and a guy who can stretch the field, he's provided that. Six catches for 148 yards. And I think that's kind of opened up things offensively for this entire unit.
Yeah, and he's been a guy, Todd, that we've always texted and talked it about, and amongst everybody, you're always like, he's good. He's solid. But now Ian Book looks like he could go maybe win a Heisman. Like, that's the transformation we've seen. You know, this is the same team, by the way, that beat Louisville, like, what, 12-7. So with a great offensive line, with a great running back, and you're just waiting for Ian Book in the passing game to come along. But the playmaking ability is awesome. Listen, I believe in the Irish because I think the Irish are a complete football team. They don't have any weaknesses. You know, Todd just talked about Clemson and talked about some things that they were concerned with. Their defense for the Notre Dame, by the way, on every level is really good. They're really solid. There's not a hole to nitpick. So in this year, you got to be able to score points. The team can get some stops, maybe some turnovers, and get the ball back to these high-powered offenses that in today's football has a chance to win. And Notre Dame are one of the four teams right now that I think you feel most confident in doing it.
Well, you get the sense, too, that they believe they're a complete football team. David, there's just sort of a sense of calm, a steady hand that you sense coming out of South Bend. To be continued. Still to come on College Football Live. Again, 1 week. Next week, we'll see our college football rankings. Also, we essentially have a Big Ten tournament this weekend. We'll look at the matchups that will likely play out.
College Football Live is brought to you by Duluth Trading Company. Tough, ingenious workwear designed and tested by tradesmen.
Kurt, do you have a favorite football team growing up?
I started to watch this guy, Tom Brady.
All right, that'll do it. Cut it short. Well, Rock, I mean, you think I forget something? I'm ready to go.
Yes, you did forget something.
I did not get my popcorn ready.
It's target practice.
Yes! Here we go.
Beast Mode is alive and well.
Hi, Peyton.
Mr. President.
Wow, the Big Ten has two key divisional games this weekend with the remaining undefeated teams in each division facing each other. ESPN's FBI gives Ohio State a 90% chance to win their game in the East, Wisconsin an 86% chance to win their game in the West, and the hype certainly already has begun. Justin Fields and the Buckeyes play host to the Hoosiers. They are now 4-0. In Big Ten play for the first time since 1987. Ohio State's game with Maryland was canceled last week. Ryan Day addressed the pros and cons of not playing last week.
The hard part is that
Indiana had an opportunity to play, and now they've played for four straight weeks, and so they got a little bit of rhythm going. And we didn't. We wanted to play, and we didn't have the opportunity to do that. So we tried to do the best we can here in-house to replicate games. They've handled it really well. At first they were disappointed, they were angry, and then we just went to work, kept going.
Including a vacated win for Ohio State in 2010, the Buckeyes have won 25 straight against Indiana, the longest winning streak versus a single opponent in Big Ten history. And ESPN's FPI gives Indiana just a 10% chance to knock off the Buckeyes this weekend. Otherwise stated, the Buckeyes are certainly heavy favorites in this one. And if you hear that, David, not the heavy favorites, but the fact that Ohio State has won 25 straight against Indiana, how much pressure do you feel if you're on that Ohio State team to make sure it's 26 in a row?
None. You know why? Because this is a team you walk
zero.
Into and you go,
no, tell me.
This is what we do. This is what we do. We beat you. We own you. Like, come on, next group. Yeah, we believe. Yeah, come on. Everybody push your chips in the middle. Take the L. Take your butt home. So I think when you look at Ohio State, it's a team that is obviously going to be very confident. All these streaks that we had at Georgia against certain teams, you knew you were going to win. You didn't think. Indiana's coming to this game. They're like, we think we can beat the Buckeyes. This is our year. We feel like we got a good chance. But Ohio State's walking in there going, Indiana, yeah, cute story, but just like always, we're going to take care of business.
All right, but don't answer none. Don't say zero and none when I ask you this. What if there were to be an upset and anything is possible, what would Indiana need to do?
Zero, none. Indiana definitely,
I think when you look at their offense,
they got to score points. They have to go into this game going, I got to get 30. So it's going to be important to them, and they've been a great offense so far. And what I like about this offense is Michael Penix Jr. slinging the pill around, and he does it quickly. He gets the ball, and he gets it out of his hands. He gets it to his playmaker. He's dynamic. He can run. He can throw. Go ask Penn State. You saw the two-point conversions. You saw the scrambles when he needed to make plays. So they got good balance. They got Stevie Scott running the football. They got good playmakers on the outside. So listen, you got to come into this game. You know you're the underdog. You know Ohio State's really good. You got to play aggressive, and you got to sling the pill around and say, I got to go get over 30 if I want to win.
Yeah, I think on the flip side, Indiana's got to play physical defense. And they've done it. They've really played well as a team, but they've got to push these receivers around. You know, Garrett Wilson is an emerging star. You've got Chris Olave, who's averaging around 17 yards per catch. I mean, these guys can get down the field, and you know Justin Fields. From what we've seen, the improvement a year ago to the improvement so far this year and how he's dealing, you know that he's going to know where the right receiver is to go. So they've got to get physical at the line of scrimmage. They've got to reroute him. They've got to not be nervous about the fact that, yeah, they're better athletes. They're faster than we are. They've got to use their length and physicality to really take them out of their rhythm offensively and specifically in that passing game in order to have a shot to pull off this upset.
Listen, it's been a great season and a great story for Indiana so far, but you're right. They need a win like this to really catapult this program and make you think, okay, the Hoosier program has changed. Let's talk a little bit about Northwestern and Wisconsin. Again, both top defenses in the Big Ten. Both defenses ranked top 10 in FBS in points per game and rush yards per game allowed. Wisconsin has only played two games, but they've held opponents to an FBS best 9 points per game. Again, Wisconsin and Northwestern, Todd, I know you will be on the sidelines, part of the broadcast crew for this one. And it's unfortunate given the momentum he had. Only two games for quarterback Graham Mertz. Nevertheless, there were some positive signs. Todd, what do you see in that body of work?
Yeah, there's a lot of positives here. First of all, I love Paul Chryst's offense. I always have. I love the misdirection. I love the basically, it's a fire drill the second the ball is snapped. You got a tight end coming across formation. You probably had a jet sweep here. I mean, there's so many different things that they throw at you, and there are a lot of easy throws. But what I love is that Mertz has come in, and you can see the talent level. It's different from what we've seen in Wisconsin quarterbacks in the past. You see how decisive he is and the ability to layer the ball here in this instance, the touchdown pass to his tight end, Jacobson, but just how easy it is for him to put the ball in spots for his receivers. And when he does have to stay in the pocket, and when he does have to kind of hang in there off of play action, he's willing to. He's a big physical guy. He has a big arm. And I think it's going to be fun to watch Pat Fitzgerald in this Northwestern defense that plays with such great discipline against an offense that forces you to with all that eye candy. This is going to be a fun matchup.
It's annoying, Todd. It's frustrating. It's annoying. Defensive players.
It's gotta be as a defensive for a reason. Guy, right?
Correct. We like to see ball, get ball, okay? And they make me think it's like rush hour, like which one of y'all kick me? Because six shifts, motions, now we go across the formation. I'm the force player now. I'm not the force player. There's just, I mean, you go back to that Michigan game, 63 of 76 snaps, there was motion. 63. So I have to be able to communicate really quickly. This is my responsibility. Okay, wait, he just shifted. Now this is my responsibility. Wait a minute, he just went in motion. So it's extremely difficult. They do such a great job with it. Paul Chris has always done well, but you're right, bro. Having Graham Mertz is different. I don't think they need the explosive, you know, big-time dynamite playmakers on the outside. First of all, Ferguson's a stud at tight end. I think he's one of the best in the country at his position. But if you can run those over routes, Todd, and get that bite and that play action, and you got a quarterback that can set his feet and throw on the run and do the things he can do, man, it could be a special team and a special year for Wisconsin.
It can, and what you really want to see is them be able to play this game. It was a setback of sorts like so many people have had due to COVID. Want to get them on the field, get to Saturday, and play this game because we do have a pretty good weekend of college football lined up. Just a primer here, a college football doubleheader on ABC and the ESPN app. First, the unbeatens in the Big Ten West, Northwestern and Wisconsin, and then we'll have the Bedlam game. That's at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, number 14 Oklahoma State takes on number 18 Oklahoma in Norman. That's Saturday on ABC. Up next, what are the chances of a BYU-Cincinnati game to crown a Group of Five champion that could crash the college football playoff party? Stick around to find out.
College Football Live is brought to you by Tostitos. Get to the good stuff.
I don't know what else to say except thanks. We're going to football. What a day.
All right, time now for the lighter side of this week as we look at a pun further review. And Todd, I'll start with you. A pun further review. What have we here from Lane Kiffin? An interesting celebration.
One of the great offensive minds in college football. He knows exactly what's going to happen here. Matt Corral sees an open receiver down the field. And Kiffin still has an arm. That clipboard went about 40 yards in the air. I love the celebration.
His wheels are busted, though. His wheels didn't work real well, though.
Right? At least that wasn't like an iPad or something. Like somebody threw. David, some special teams fun here in the Pac-12 after dark.
Yeah, Pac-12 after dark. Who doesn't like snaps over punters' heads? And when you watch punters to try to be athletes, I mean, it works out perfectly well. What could possibly go wrong? I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna punt it. I'm not gonna punt it. You pick it up. You go score.
Yeah, you know, just how they drew it up. Todd, some wide receiver trouble here for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, De'Aaron King's looking deep. Thinks he's got an open receiver. D. Wiggins. Good thing he's still healthy. But you love it as a cornerback when you can ride that wide receiver into the kick. I mean, that's a mess. Brian Murray's probably watched that play 45 times in the last couple of days for Virginia Tech.
Why not? David, a special teams.
Great special teams.
This one, though, goes wrong.
Special teams again.
Yeah, goes wrong.
I'm the special teams guy, apparently. So, hey, let's try a little trickeration. We're down. And nope. Don't do it again. Really bad.
Yep, you strike me as a special teams guy. But listen, before we talk more about that, I got to ask you this because we'll see Tuesday night the first college football playoff ranking. We got two group of five teams who are potentially in the mix. And is there any hope or what do you hear about a potential BYU-Cincinnati matchup?
This would be so amazing, but there's rumors that this game might happen. It would be awesome. It would be great for BYU or Cincinnati. You're talking about getting in the playoff mix to see those two teams go at it in live and living color, and you don't have to guess what would happen. And you're talking about two of the top 10 teams in the country. I know we don't have out of conference and all that stuff, but if this game happens, like they're talking about may possibly happen, that would be ridiculous.
It's 2020,
ridiculous.
Man.
Ridiculous.
We just got to adjust. Why why not do it? I would
adapt
love to
and
see
improvise.
This. Luke Fickell, exactly. Luke Fickell is building something special at Cincinnati. It would be tough, though, to bet against Zach Wilson the way he's playing. 75% he's completing, 22 touchdowns, just two interceptions. He plays a risky brand of football, but yet he's only thrown two picks in the year. This would be a fun game to watch, especially with how good the defense is for Cincinnati and how great of a job that Fickell and his staff have done on that side of the ball.
It would be fun to see him challenged, right? Like you're talking about a secondary that can cover his wide receivers out wide. You're talking about a pass rush that can get to him. He would have to play great. And on the other side, too, Desmond Ridder. He's come on this season. He looks like a guy that plays the quarterback position and knows his answers. And he, by the way, still a freak athlete. Can outrun people if you want to spy him. Can break tackles. Can make all kinds of big plays. So, listen, if we want to know, if one of these teams want to get in the college football playoff, this is the only way they could do it. They need to play each other during the season. If we make it happen, it would be awesome.
Well, and I agree with Todd. I mean, we need to audible. We have already so many times in so many different areas. Why not now? Todd, how do you handicap the potential of a group of five team in the college football playoff?
It's a long shot, but as David said, like this is the best chance for one of these teams to get in. You have two teams in the SEC right now with Alabama and Florida playing great. A&M's playing really well as well. You've got two teams in the ACC with Clemson and Notre Dame. You've got two teams in Ohio State and Wisconsin in the Big Ten. So that makes it difficult, but this is the only chance.
All right, guys, another great weekend of college football coming up. We'll see you back here for an hour tomorrow.